Hallelujah. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. A little bit of everything this morning. Isn't that good? It's my honor to be here this morning, and your pastors are personal friends of my wife and I, and I was trying to think how long we've known one another. It goes back into the 80s when we were regional directors together, and although we have some funny stories about one another, we won't talk about those here. But I appreciate right now the opportunity to come up and share in your church. But I want to get into the Word this morning. We're going to have a great time in Jesus' name in the Word. Do you have your Bibles?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. All right. Are you ready to? My Bible's falling apart, but I have a. My daughter's helped me age this Bible somewhat. When she's small, she wrote in it and took some of my pages out for me. So we were discussing that the other day, and she says, "Well, Daddy, it says I love you in there. There's big circles with a, you know, in there." So I believe her when she said that. Over in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." Everyone say sum.
Sum.
Say sum.
Sum.
What does sum mean? Normally it would mean total, but if you do some study here, you'll find out, and in some of the translations that you have here this morning, it means, "Of the things that we have spoken, this is the main point." All right? The main. How many have that in their Bible? "Of the things which we have spoken, this is the main point." So here we're interrupting right in the middle of the book of Hebrews, and it says in the middle, up to this time really, the point that was trying to be put across by the author of Hebrews is, here is the main point of what you want to get. Okay? Are you ready to shout and run? Now, who do you think wrote the book of Hebrews? How many say Paul? How many say Luke? Haven't thought about that. How about Pauline? Well, she has epistles too. Really, it was the Holy Ghost that wrote this through somebody. And maybe we'll get to heaven and find out it was a lady that did it. Who cares? There is a lot of detail there, so there is some evidence that it may have been a woman. I've been married almost 32 years. I know what I'm talking about. All right? That's why God sent the Amplified Bible to the body of Christ, just to satisfy the ladies of God. "Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." Here's the main point. Are you going to get excited this morning?
Amen.
We have such a high priest.
Amen.
"Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." Let's stop right here. I would think if we're trying to get the main point of something, and if the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal something to us, this must be a key to understand what this is all about. We now have a high priest. We now have a high priest. I think we need more teaching on it. Because if we knew this morning what our high priest is doing right now, we'd be a little bit more excited about our life. Amen. So many times we think we're alone in this world. We think we're just going through the motions, and gee, I hope God hears my prayer today. Gee, I hope things are working out. And gee, I wish I was doing more for God, because if I was doing more for God, then I'd see more of His power manifested, and maybe I'd get healed. Or, well, folks, we have to understand what His ministry is. When we see the big picture, we can then cooperate with His ministry. Back up. I'm coming back to this, but back up to Hebrews chapter 3. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider." Everyone say consider.
Consider.
Consider the apostle and high priest of our what? Our profession, Christ Jesus. Now this tells us a little bit about his high priestly ministry today. It tells us a little bit about it. Now Jesus, you and I know this, Jesus, before this was written, died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead for our justification. Is that not true? And he took his blood and took it into the heavenly Holy of Holies. Just read Hebrews. You get that revelation. He took it there just one time. He only had to do it one time. Thank God. He took it there one time, and Jesus has now been seated at the right hand of the Father. But he's not up there just indifferent about things. He is still involved in our life. But it tells us right here, that he is the high priest of our what? Our profession or our confession. And I'm going to teach you a little bit about that this morning. Three things I'm going to get across to you, just shades of meaning to this word, confession. Doesn't sound deep, but we are going to have a good time. You say, well, I've heard all the teaching on confession. Good, you're going to hear some more. All right? If I say to you, I love my dog, I love my wife, and I love God, how many think that there's probably shades of meaning in there? Now, I have known men. Well, never mind. There were hunters and... Well, never mind. I could have thrown golf clubs in there. All right? But I didn't. But it's interesting. He's the high priest of what we say. And a lot of people sit around, they say, well, listen, Jesus did all the work at Calvary. He was raised from the dead. He took His blood. What do we have to do with it? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up. Go back to Hebrews 8. I got to move here quickly. Because there is something about confession. There is something about, for instance, speaking in other tongues. There is something about when God asks us to do something with our mouth, it seems like Satan attacks that right away. Oh, yeah. He tries to confuse us with the purpose of both. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because whoever controls this in our life controls us. In James chapter 3, it talks about this being the most unruly member. It says it's set on fire of hell. Satan is out after your words. Why? Would you like to know today? Why? Why is he after that? What it comes down to, and this is why people struggle with either confessing the word or praying in the Spirit or whatever those things are, because according to James, whoever you yield this to is your Lord. Now, I didn't say Savior. I said your Lord. Many times people struggle with these areas because it's a lordship issue. Because they don't want to give up the control of their life. Gee, I was doing good there for a minute. All I had to do was say control. I'm sorry. But you know, good Bible teaching makes us responsible. And it makes us walk with God because without Him we can't do anything. But we have a part to play. Here in chapter 8, it tells us, if we go on, had Jesus already gone to the cross already? Had he presented His blood just one time? Has that already been done? The price has been paid, is that right? Watch this. Verse 3, some of you are reading ahead. Cease and desist. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Now he's talking about the priestly ministry in Israel. Wherefore, it is of what? Necessity that this man, who's this man? That's Jesus. It is of necessity that this man, Jesus, our present day high priest, it's necessary that this man today have somewhat, what's the next word? Have somewhat what? Have somewhat? Also to offer. He said, Brother Bibby, he offered up his blood. That's sufficient. Yes, but if you know what confession truly means, He is waiting for our confession of faith. Are you with me today? I'm going to give you three meanings here, shades of meaning. Three things that you need to get. Just shades of meaning to the word confession. I didn't come upon these on my own. I got help from W.E. Vine on this. But when you study that word in one of his books, he gives different examples of where this same word is used. And I'm going to give you just a few. For instance, in one place, it means to agree with. Confession means to agree with. Confession means to agree with. All right? Now, where would that be? Where do you think we could find the word confession in the New Testament where it means to agree with God? How about 1 John chapter 1? Where it says, if we confess our sins, what does that mean? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, why would that mean agreement? Are you ready? When you confess your sin to God, what you're doing there is that you are agreeing that what you did was sin. Now, please notice, if you're married, it doesn't say to confess the sins of your mate. Yeah, but I wouldn't have done that. If she hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. And no, Adam did that, and it cost him his home. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So one meaning to confession is to confess our sins. And many people in the religious world, that's where they want to stop. They think if they can just go and talk to somebody, sometimes behind a little box, and they just, okay, I've done this and I've done this, and they say, well, say this and this and this, and you're done. And they think that's Christianity. No. Jesus is the high priest of what you and I say. First of all, we should agree with God. Many times the agreement we have is we just see something in the Scripture and we just say, that doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to agree with God. Now, I find it interesting. You're quiet. Are you always this quiet? Okay. I find it interesting because people have said to me over the years, pastoring 16, almost 17 years, is that they just say, I don't like that confession stuff because I'm not going to talk to things and I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Well, I've heard all that. Matter of fact, I heard it from me for a while. Yeah. No, I'm not going to believe that stuff. It's weird. I'm not going to believe it. Well, let me tell you something. We believe things other people tell us all the time. You want some examples? How many times have you ever believed what the weatherman has said and made plans accordingly? We had a church picnic one time and the weather thing for that Saturday up in Michigan, they said 80% chance of rain. It's a big storms are coming through. Big storm. Well, we planned this church picnic for quite a while. And you say, did you pray about it? No, I just called the thing because I just felt that was when we ought to have a church picnic and it's going to happen. Most of the people stayed away. Oh, by the way, clouds never showed up. When we're going to meet, when we're going to start, you couldn't find a cloud in the sky, but people are still staying at their house someplace waiting for the rain to come. You want to know why? The weatherman said. Thus saith the weatherman. Sometimes they're accurate. All right? Well, what would happen if they got stoned every time they said something false? Okay, let's move on to another profession here. Well, that preacher said that and it didn't happen. Okay, let's bring out the weathermen. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? And people say, well, I'm just not going to talk to a mountain. I'm not going to talk to this and that. I just don't do that. I do. And you do too. I'd like to put a recorder in your car sometime. Now, I will confess that I talk to other drivers. In Oklahoma, you have to. My wife turns to me when we're in the car and she says, honey, they cannot hear you. I said, that's not my fault. I could help them if they'd listen. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? My son, who's 18 and a big kid now, When he was little in our back car seat, this is up in Michigan and it's like below zero in the morning and we got to go out and start the car, you know. And I was in a hurry and I throw him in there. The car's just trying to, you know, I've got to get the car, thinking I'll get it warmed up. We're just going to move quick and I'm scraping because I'm late. And I hadn't started. I was trying to get the car started. So I get him strapped in. I come rushing around. And you know when the snow just crunches under your feet, you know, every breath you can feel it go down. All right. And so it's like one of those mornings. I put the key in. I start it. And it goes, rrr, rrr, rrr. But when I turned it like this, a little voice, an audible voice came out of the back seat. And it was my son who was, I'm thinking about 3 or 4 at that time. When I turned the key and the car started going, rrr, his little voice goes, come on, baby, 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 baby. And the first thought I had was, my wife must talk to this car. But it wasn't her. It's me. And I turned around and looked at him. He's smiling because he's helping me start the car. Big old grin on his face. And I go, turn the key again. And he goes, come on, baby, baby, baby. Come on, you do it too. When we moved to Oklahoma, you've got 4-way stops here, don't you? Way too many of them? In Oklahoma, that's the state flower. Is it not true? You just get going. And a 4-way stop in Oklahoma is where 4 cars come together and look at one another. It's also a good time for people to put on their makeup and talk on their phone and, until somebody feels led to go. So we hadn't been there. My son was about 10. 9 or 10 when we moved down there. We've been there about 10 years now on staff, and we pull up to the stop sign and I'm looking like this, and I've got this probably a look of awe, and he's sitting in the back seat, and I'm looking up here, and here's a young lady up front. She's got the thing down. She's putting on makeup or something. Nobody is at the other 3 signs, all right? So she's got it to herself. She's got a corner on the market, okay? And I'm thinking, and all of a sudden, I heard a voice, another audible voice. And it sounded just like John Wayne. That's a funny thing. A voice for my son. Let's get a move on it, little missy. And I'm thinking, where did he learn that? Okay, ladies, how many, do you talk to your car? Do you talk? Yeah, yeah. And then we talk about faith. And we go, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Well, one means to agree with God. I mean, if Jesus tells us to do something, don't you think we ought to do it? Even if great-grandmother so-and-so never did it that way? Okay, where are you getting your information? Well, we've always done it this way. Yeah, but Jesus said to always do it this way. Let me give you another shade of meaning. Are you ready? To speak from a deep assurance of fact. The word confession is used over in Romans 10, 9 and 10. To believe in your heart and what? Confess with your mouth. What happens when that takes place? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that He died on the cross for your sins, you believe that He was raised from the dead for your justification. If you believe that inside, in your heart, in your spirit, man, the part of you that believes things, when you can make that confession in faith, the greatest miracle that can ever take place in your life takes place because of confession. And I get a little upset when people say, well, that confession stuff is just New Age. That's goofy. I said, that's goofy. It's a matter of lordship of the tongue. Now, the third one I'm just going to borrow is out of Hebrews 15:13. Help me with this one. Is it 13:15? It says, let us offer up the sacrifice of what?
Praise.
Praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. What? Giving thanks to His name. You say, well, that's not confession. Well, look up the word giving thanks.
Yes. Right.
It's the same word as confession in these other places. So here's a third way. It's to celebrate. It's to celebrate. Confession is a celebration.
Hallelujah.
So I just gave you three shots or look at what faith really is. You believe. Is that not right? Okay. You agree. You celebrate. Confession. Jesus is the high priest of what we say. Can I ask you something? Are you ready? This might be a good title. Are you ready? If Jesus actually is the high priest of what we say, and in a little bit, if I can get to it, over in Hebrews 11:23, where it says that, you know, if you believe that your words come to pass, you will have what you say. How many have ever heard teaching on that?
Oh, yeah.
But let's just take a giant leap of faith and believe just for a moment that Jesus really meant that. That there's a reason why it's red ink in the Bible. Okay? Let's just take a giant leap of faith thinking that maybe Jesus knew what He was talking about. He knew what His ministry would be throughout all eternity. Alright? Let's just take a giant leap and just say, He is the high priest of what we say. Can I ask you one question? What on earth have you been saying? If you can actually have what you say, what on earth have you been saying? I didn't mean for it to get quiet in here. My wife and I were having a discussion years ago. How many know what a discussion is? We were having a discussion. She told me early on in our marriage, we will not have arguments, we'll have discussions. Well, we were having a good one. Probably one of those higher level ones. You know what I'm talking about? Deep. Intense. She was speaking with deep assurance. Anyway. And I was not agreeing. And I made an assumption. You men probably don't do it out here, but I made assumptions that she was saying something. She's questioning something. My motive. I can't even remember what it was. And finally, she got exasperated because I just kept, no, you know, I'm jumping to this. And she's exasperated. And finally, she looks at me and she goes, "Who told you that?" And I don't like that. She nailed me. In other words, she was saying, where did I get my information from? Now, I was stuck theologically because, actually, in pride, I'm not going to say, well, the devil revealed it to me. I knew that God hadn't told me that because He's not the accuser of the cistern. Is that true? So I'm stuck theologically. And I can't even say I revealed it to myself. That's one thing about revelation. Where'd you get it? I told myself. Now you might think that's funny, but can I ask you some questions? Let me take you from that smile to maybe a more serious look. Who told you you're not going to get healed? I was reading one day after that, and I was reading in the garden about, you know, the account in the garden. Adam had sinned and Eve was deceived, you know, that whole thing. Here's God looking for Adam. Adam, where are you? And he's looking through the garden. Do you think God knew where he was?
Oh, yeah.
God knew. Adam had no clue where he had fallen to. And he didn't have a clue. But, and then all of a sudden he springs out and he said he hid himself because he was naked. Oklahoma, it's naked. Okay? And what was the first thing God said to him? Who told you?
Yes.
In other words, if you can determine the source of the information you have,
yep.
you can always walk in victory. Mm-hmm. We're living in a days, folks, right now, we need to know exactly what God has said to the church. You need to know what He said to you personally. And you better, number one, agree. Number two, you need to start speaking from a deep assurance of fact, and then you better start celebrating. Because whether we know it or not, we've never had it so good as we have it right now. I'm amazed at what the Christians are dominated by today. I think it's an amazing thing, a statement about our society that and thank God, that, and I haven't seen it yet, I haven't seen the movie, but a Hollywood star who happens to be a Catholic, his efforts are going to shake this country. Well, he's shooken. I mean, it's shaken already. He said, I don't like what he did. I don't care. He talked about Jesus and he tried to be accurate. Amen? He's a lot more accurate than what anyone was ready for. Alright? It's time to stop the silly bickering and getting all of our information from, you know, just the, you know, well, I read USA Today and USA Today says. Or I read the New York Times and the New York Times said that, forget it. What did Jesus say about your situation? And the sooner you line up with that, the sooner you're going to start walking in victory. You say, Brother Beebe, I never confess anything. It's probably what you have. It's not about getting stuff. It's about walking by faith. There's people in this room that are in bondage just because of fear. I appreciate what our one sister came up here and she shared out of her heart. You know, that's the verse. We need to trust Jesus. We need to walk by faith. And it upsets her because fear gets a hold of her. Well, let's be honest, man. We've been fearful too.
Yep.
And some are really fearful. But if you look to the Word of God, you're going to see that we don't have to be fearful. When I got out of Rhema, the first year I was out, I got hired by a man that I'd worked for at a different company. He told me, we started out with one empty warehouse, ended up going, and in 1 year we had 7 full warehouses. Just filled. I mean, God was blessing that, and I was running these. I was running the crews. And he'd gotten a building. He'd already filled it full of product down in a different part of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it was downtown, inner city. I'd never been there. Middle of winter, real cold. He got out to our big warehouse. He says, Dave, I can't get down there, but somebody has to go downtown and unlock the warehouse because I've got a crew coming in there early. You got to get down there right now. I said, okay, I'll do it. Where's the keys? He gave me the keys. I'm walking out the door. He says, get a flashlight. I said, okay, flashlight. He says, yeah, to be able to turn on the lights and everything, you have to go into the basement. I said, okay, flashlight, keys, basement. And I turned around and said, he gave me a little bit of instruction. He says, okay, he says, this is what I'm concerned about. We have people break into that building all the time and they're dangerous. I drive down there. What do you think I'm thinking? Well, I forgot part of the list. I forgot the flashlight part. That dangerous thing. And I'm just thinking, all right, somebody wants to get a hold of me. Come on, come on. No. I'll tell you, you don't know what's in the dark.
That's right.
Sometimes. He says they can be dangerous. Every once in a while they spring on people and things happen. So I'm going down there and all I can think of, all right, go to the basement, get down. I get there and I go, no flashlight. Oh, did I tell you it was like 7 o'clock in the morning and still dark outside? And so what he failed to tell me was that the warehouse, a real old building, 2 stories above ground, 2 full stories underground. So I'm going down. What do? You descend, is that right?
Yeah.
And so I'm following this brick wall. It's cold, it's freezing. And as you go down, it went down in a thing like this. And you go down, and here's the next floor. I'm reaching for the light. He said, there's a little light that you turn on. You look across, and there's the bank of lights. You turn all the things. I get there, no light here. I'm trying to feel around. There's nothing on the other wall. I step around the next corner and another set of steps going down. By this time, I couldn't see anything. I could hear something, though. It sounded a little bit like a machine gun at times, just beating in my chest. But it was... Yeah, but you're a man. Yeah, I'm a man, but there may have been one down there, too, you know? So I'm sneaking down this thing, and I'm going down, and finally I hit the ground floor, and I'm looking around, And thank God. I'm thinking there's people, dangerous is a word I could, dangerous. Everyone say dangerous.
Dangerous.
It's exactly what the devil told you.
Yep.
Yeah, don't get hooked up with those people. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. I reached around, found the light switch. When I turned the light switch up, I didn't look over at the bank of lights. I turned, switched it on this. Harold, would you just stand up? The wall came to an end just about there. Light switch, bank for the lights right there. I turned it on, and that close to me was a man. It was obvious that I'd frightened him. You could tell by the look on his face. He looked, his face, he's just all like this, and you know, his face all contorted like this, and you could tell I had scared the living daylights out of him. Only to realize I just had looked into a full-length mirror. I could hardly climb up the steps. Now I've got lights, but my heart is not... I couldn't even hear it now. I had met my greatest enemy in life. This area of confession, sometimes we think the devil's such a big hot shot. We think he's got all the power. If you believe the devil, before long he looks like, you know, Superman, and God looks like a visitor every once in a while. Why do we listen to him? Why do we listen to him? We need to be listening to God these days. And then speak from a deep assurance of fact. For some people, the only thing that's left between where they're at right now and a manifestation of what they've been believing God for is that they haven't released their faith through the words. It's like a marriage, in a wedding ceremony. They can make vows in this new covenant. God has said things. You better get into agreement with the vows that you are with the person that you're in covenant with. Amen? Are you still listening to me? What were the three things to confession? Number one, to agree with God. Number two, to speak from a deep assurance of fact. By the way, we don't need police helping everyone else with their confession. Number three, what was it? To celebrate by reason of praise. And that's what I wanted to get across to you this morning. Okay? Can I take it a little further?
Yeah.
I just sunk the minute right there.
Good.
Good. Now it's time to
read. Let me just take it a little further. You ready?
Throughout
Scripture in a covenant, both sides said something. Abraham had to say something. God said something. In a marriage, husband and wife, they both say something. Jesus is the high priest of what we say. He's still waiting for you to agree with Him. He's waiting for you to speak. In Revelation it says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How many would like their faith just to work all the time? 24 hours. I mean, where your faith just... You don't even have to worry about whether your faith's working. Wouldn't it be nice just to know that? In other words, who would like to dwell in the secret place of the Most High all the time?
Right.
To abide under the shadow of the Almighty? How many know that Psalm?
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 91.
Oh, yeah.
It says... Are you ready? Here's the key. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What's the next few words? I will what? We're supposed to be saying some things.
Yeah.
By the way, that's the old covenant. We've got a better covenant.
Amen. Yep.
It hits every part of our Christian walk. It hits our water baptism is a public declaration or confession that we've been born again. Is that right? Water baptism is a confession. Communion is a confession. When Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, He wasn't just talking about breaking the bread and passing the juice or whatever it is. If you look back, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks. It says He said something. Then He said, "This do." So it's a confession that we're in a covenant with God. That we're in the body of Christ. It's also a confession that we need one another. But we're talking about this. I'm going to mention this if it's all right. Tithing is a confession. Deuteronomy 26, they had to make a confession when they brought the tithe. They made a confession. Just concerning their tithe. Everything about Christianity is what we say. How am I doing on time? I didn't even notice when I started. You doing all right? Over in... go with me to Mark 11 real quick. Remind me to come back to Psalm 91. I'm just going to do a couple more verses and then I'll... Pardon? It's not Hagen, though. No. Is that the New Testament, though? I'm having trouble here. There it is. I was listening to a radio personality talk about criticizing faith ministries and saying things like, God calls those things which be not as though they were. And he was criticizing faith people for calling those things which be not as though they were. And I thought, doesn't he know that that says that God does that? And people come out and they say, well, no, I just call them the way I see them. I just call them the way I see them. Well, we ought to thank God Jesus didn't do that. The leper that came to Him, he needs help. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't look at him and says, well, I see you as a leper. I call you a leper. Call him the way you see him. Give me a break. We ought to call him the way God sees him through His Word. He sees us as healed already. All right? Watch this in Mark 11. Oh, by the way, this is all about Jesus. He had cursed the fig tree. You remember the story here, Mark 11? I'm sure it's taught here a lot. In verse 20, it says, "In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto the Master, Behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst." King James, I love it. Get the D and the ST in there. "Cursedst is withered away." Now listen, it does not say he cussed out the fig tree. Matter of fact, when Peter started cussing, when he denied Jesus the third time, he started cussing. That's when they believed that he was not a disciple. I'm surprised at the words people use today. Doesn't matter what age, I've heard some rough stuff. It's an indication that you're not a disciple. To the world, it's an indication that you're not a Christian. All right? It's funny. Let me show you how we think. I may have used this before when I was here, but isn't it funny how we think? How many think, if you cussed right now, would God hear you?
Oh, yeah.
Would He? Would He hear you? You think if you said, don't do it. If you heard a real bad word, if you had a bad word bubble up, don't do it. Don't you do it up here. Huh? All right. How many think? Pretty much, if you say something, I mean, God's going to hear it. Isn't it funny? We've got more faith that God's going to hear our cussing than our prayers. I don't know if he heard me. Well, try cussing. Isn't that crazy? You see, the devil is crazy. And if you listen to him, you'll go insane. Yeah, but we never did it that way. Okay, then try God's for a while. Just try going. Just try just for a little bit. If God said it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to say it, and that's it. In James, it says it'll turn your horse around, it'll turn your boat around. I pastored that first church, but anyway. If he's the high priest of what we say, what are we saying about our kids? What are we saying about our jobs? What are we saying about our city? I talked to the students when I teach along these lines. I said, well, okay, anybody here from Los Angeles? You know, you hear that. How many from New York? Yeah, you know. And I go, you know, different parts of the country, big cities, you know, because I hear them talking. And this is what I hear. Is that, oh yeah, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness over our city. Bad. I'm from New York. I mean, those are the worst. Oh, real spiritual bondage over there. Big devils, strong devils. And then somebody says, yeah, but I'm from L.A. and our devils are stronger than your devils. And then somebody else says, you know, I'm from Louisiana and they're in New Orleans. I mean, we've got the weirdest devils. And, you know, our devils could take your devils. You know, what if it is true, you can have what you say. I heard somebody say one time, it was a missionary years and years ago, he said, the only devils we have in the United States are those that couldn't make it on the mission field. I loved it. Are you getting helped yet today? The easiest thing to do is say, okay, I give up. If you say I'm healed, I'm healed. If you say I'm blessed, all right, I'm going to say I'm blessed. If that's what you want me to be, I will be that. And you just watch God turn your... Listen, I was the first one saved in my family. All my family's saved. All my wife's family's saved. You want to know why? Because I know Jesus is the high priest of what I say. I tell people all the time, it's easy to get people born again, especially my relatives. Now, if I were to call them the way I see them, oh God. And Jesus answering saith unto him, I'm jumping down to 22, have faith in God, and this is the kind of faith that we should have. For verily, who's talking? Is it read in your Bible? Did Brother Hagin write this? Did E.W. Kenyon write this? Or Roberts write this? Jesus. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall speak or say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It says say three times, it says believe once. Everyone wants to believe 10 times and never say anything. Oh, you don't have to tell the checkout person at the corner market that you what you believe in God for. I'm not talking about that. But you should have a release of your faith, especially when you come to church and you're with everybody else. You go, Lord, I just thank you. My family's in by faith. I thank you that my body's healed in Jesus' name. Not because I feel it, but I'm going to go along with you. How many think God has what he says?
Amen.
Then how would you like to have been that king in the Old Testament that was taking in Sarah? And God spoke to him and said, thou art a dead man. Where's that repent thing? Where's that 7 steps to repentance? All right? But notice here, you have to believe that your words come to pass. You have to believe that your words come to pass. We had a good conversation the other day in the car. Our generation, I believe that the younger people are going to pick up on this. The way we were taught, you put your hand out there and say, I give you my word. I didn't need God to be there to be the power to fulfill that thing.
Yes.
You keep your word because you give your word.
Yep.
See, that's why liars, not anybody here, but down the street in that other... That's why liars and gossips, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other people, can possibly be in here. That's why their faith doesn't work. People that criticize all the time and say things with their mouth, they're loose with their words. They don't really believe that their words come to pass, or they wouldn't say some of the things that they're saying. And because they don't believe that their words come to pass, that's why their faith is hindered in other areas. You're welcome. That was worth the price of admission for today right there. You get anything out of this? Notice this. I'll close with this. It says, it doesn't say to talk with the mountain. He didn't tell us to meditate on the subject of mountains. He didn't say do an in-depth study on their creation. It didn't say climb up the mountain. It didn't say go around town talking about the mountain or giving that information over to the prayer chain. It didn't say wonder how the mountain got there. And it certainly doesn't say reverence the mountain. It says speak to it. You say, but a mountain's big. I guess you folks around here have some evidence that mountains are big, right? I'm just taking you at your word that you have a very large mountain around here. Every time I've been out here, it's hiding. So I'm walking by faith. You guys are walking by knowledge. I'm walking by faith. Now, if I were to call it the way I see it, there's no mountain here. And you'd laugh me out. Yeah. But we just don't. Well, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. Did you know the word brain is not in the Bible? And if I can't see your brain or your gizzard or whatever else we're talking about, it's going to take some surgery for you to prove to me that you have one. Or else I'm just going to have to take your word for it. I was teaching this years ago. I was thinking about bringing... Did I use the example of pink elephant when I was here last time? I got this idea when I was teaching on the subject of faith to get a pink elephant that was given to my son. Who would give a boy a pink elephant? But you crank the thing up. Maybe it was just like this. You crank it up and it plays, Jesus loves me this side. It was kind of cute, but I got that thing away from him as soon as I could. You say pink means, a guy wearing pink means he's secure. Well, I didn't want him to have to struggle. It was my insecurity, not his. Anyway, so I used that. I brought it to a class in a church I was teaching on faith, and so I put it in a bag underneath the thing. And I knew these people. I'd led different ones to the Lord. I'd helped that church get started when I was a young Christian. And so I put it under the bag, and they'd invited me in for about a week to teach on the subject of faith, and I was looking for an example, and I thought, all of a sudden, the pink elephant. I can see the anticipation building in this room right today. And so I put it in a bag and I stuffed it under. I didn't want to tell my wife because she'd have talked me out of that thing so quick. All right. So anyway, it's under the front seat. And so my point was that I wanted them to believe me in something that they couldn't see. Okay. And so I said, okay, I'm going to teach you something on the subject of believing. Okay. Taking somebody at their word. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to want you to believe me and then respond accordingly. There is a pink elephant in this room. Now, what do you think they did? Well, they didn't do anything. They just kind of went. Well, I kept going on. I went on for about 10 minutes. I said, no. I got to the places, as an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you my word that there is a pink. It's like me putting my hand out. There's a pink elephant in this room. Take my word for it. And now they're laughing. Finally, there's an older lady she's gone to be home with Jesus now. She's known me since I got saved. And she finally, just out of pure pity, she goes, Brother BB, I'll believe you, but you could tell. She's going out on the limb with me just only because she thought he's losing his mind and he needs to move on to something else. I said, no, I'm giving you my word. I went over. I said, who will believe me? Her hand would go up. And then I started looking disappointed because I know that's how God looks sometimes, probably. I know Jesus had a look on his face always, not all the time, it was just smiley when he's tossing people out of the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went under there and got the bag out and pulled out the pink elephant, and they laughed for 5 minutes straight. Ha, ha, ha. Very, very funny. I said, a pink elephant, I told you there's one in here. And they laughed and they laughed. I said, now, how many believe that there's a pink elephant in this room? And everybody's hand went up. Guess what I said? I said, no, you don't. It only could have been belief when it was based only on what I was telling you.
It's true.
Once it's manifested, it's not belief anymore.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. It's a teaching tool. Yeah, we believe we can see it. No. Some of the things that God has written for us, you might not see tomorrow or the next day. But God's Word is good for you. When I first heard that by His stripes ye were healed, my mind went, what? How can I be were healed when I ain't healed? But when I started lining some things up, we've got two children because we learned that. My wife's not supposed to be able to have kids at all. We got two. It took a creative miracle. Oh, by the way, we kept agreeing with God's Word. We kept speaking from a deep assurance of fact. We didn't know it would take a miracle. We didn't know. But after 13 years of marriage, our son comes along. We're celebrating. You know what? We talk about it. My wife and I talk about it. What are we going to act like when all of a sudden we find out we're pregnant? What are we laughing? We'd start laughing and celebrating. We knew it was going to happen. Because we had friends that says it's not the will of God for you to have kids. Job had those same friends. You'd think they'd look a little older than what they were, but there's not always going to be people that agree with you in your faith, but you just stand strong in the Word of God. Yeah. Now I've got an 18-year-old son, I've got a 9.5-year-old daughter. Married 32 years. You say, well, that was kind of a late start. Well, that's better than no start at all with kids. Now, what's interesting in all those years is we were pastoring. It seemed, there may have been an exception that I don't know about, but anyone that came to us to be prayed for to have kids because they were trying to have kids again, we'd lay hands on them, they'd get pregnant. Amen. What's that all about? I told my wife, I said, we pray for them, they get pregnant. We're trying to get pregnant. I had my days, I'm talking, you know. And I lay these hands on these, and then I went, isn't Christianity fun, though? Come on, we're goofy creatures. We are. But there is a better plan in place for us. He's the high priest of what we say. You've got to find out what He says. You've got to agree with it. You have to start speaking out what He says. And then you need to start celebrating before you ever see it manifesting. Well, stand up, please. Thanks. Hallelujah. I want to give people an opportunity to make the most important confession you'll ever make in your life. And that's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Where you confess Him as your Lord and Savior. And if we have folks here this morning, and this is only going to take a minute, if we have people here this morning that you've never experienced what we call the new birth or being born again, you might not understand the terminology. But when it takes place in your life, you know it. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and you have to believe that He was raised from the dead for your justification. Even if you don't know what that word means, your heart will witness to it. He is Lord over all. I just gave you the most powerful message that if you will respond in faith, you get a brand new start in life. Isn't that great? I needed it when I was 19 years old. Hallelujah. So I'm looking around right now, and I'm having a little trouble seeing above the lights, but if you are here this morning and want prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it could be that you've been, maybe years ago you gave your life to the Lord and you've fallen out of fellowship, why don't you come on home today? Why don't you just come on home? And sometimes you can be real religious and you've fooled everybody, but you haven't fooled God. Just come on home today. Amen? He could be your Savior, but He's not your Lord. You don't let Him have every area of your life. So if there's anybody here that would like prayer, just put your hand up right now so I can see. Do I have help here? Is there anybody that would like prayer to receive Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Ushers, do you see anybody? We're all right? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't preach on healing this morning necessarily, but I'm just going to do one thing. I found this happens because you don't have to feel an anointing on you to do anything. But if we act on what we just preached in faith, If you just act on what you preach in faith. And what did I just preach on? You can have what you say. I've seen this over the years. Over the years, I don't have to feel anything. I've seen blind eyes open up just like this. I never felt a thing. I've seen wild stuff like that happen, and I never felt anything. Why is that? We're supposed to be faith preachers too. But I'm going to declare healing on people right now in Jesus' name. I believe I can have what I say. What about you?
Amen.
Do you believe that we can speak to mountains? That means you can speak to sickness, disease, tumors. You can speak to anything that you want out of your way. I'm going to start speaking healing right now in Jesus' name. All you got to do is speak the same thing and just get rid of some stuff, all right? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak right now. I speak right now. I speak right now that by the stripes of Jesus, these folks are healed in Jesus' name. We see Him as healed. We believe it. We agree with it. We speak healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Tumors, you can't stay in bodies in Jesus' name. You have no right there. Those people are redeemed. That's not your property. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God.